Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
How many of you listening today remember the bicentennial celebration of our country? The year 1976 marked the 200th year anniversary of the United States of America that was founded through the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Do you remember where you were at for that 4th of July celebration, or perhaps do you remember the different ways that you or your family celebrated the 1976 year? For me, even though I don't recall what I did on that 4th of July, what I do remember is that our family in 1976 took a vacation and went camping together to celebrate. For 3 weeks, we traveled from Forest, Ohio, all the way out west, visiting sites across the country like the Yellowstone National Park, Mount Rushmore, the Grand Canyon, the California Redwood Forest, and many other states in between. I remember crossing the big Lone Star state of Texas, not because I remember seeing anything, but because it was super hot and our camper had zero air conditioning. What made that camping trip so special was not just the fun of sightseeing or eating food around the campfire under the stars every night. It was about coming together as a family and making memories that last a lifetime. Did you know that God is all about camping, coming together as God's people to celebrate together by remembering what the Lord has done? In fact, it's an annual feast that in the Old Testament is called the Feast of Booths. One of the times that we read about the Feast of Booths being resurrected and celebrated is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18. God's people came together for 8 days, not just for the great camp food or family time, but they came together to feast on God's word. The main takeaway from Nehemiah chapter 8 is this: when God's people come together to understand God's word and to apply God's word, it results in God's people knowing great joy in the Lord. First, God's people came together to understand God's word. It says in verse 13 of chapter 8, "On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law." Just to review what we talked about the last time in the first few verses in the earlier part of Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, "On the seventh month, on day one, all the people were gathered together, the men, women, and children, all that could hear with understanding. They all came together to hear God's word being read, taught, and explained." The people longed to hear from the book God's law so much that they actually stood for 6 hours as God's word was read. But just hearing God's word was not enough for them. This was not just a one and done for the people. The people longed for more of this book. On the seventh month, on day two, the heads of each household, the fathers and the priests and Levites, all came back together to meet with Ezra, the priest, the scribe, for one reason: to understand the words of the law. The application to this first point is so basic, it's almost understood without stating or even further explaining. We do not read this book just as a checkoff box, as if to say, you know, I've read my chapter or my devotion for today, I'm done. Neither do we read it for just head knowledge, because if that's all we're doing, we'll end up with a puffed up head and little or no heart for God, and our relationship with God will be as dry as dust. Rather, we come together as God's people, both corporately and individually, to sit at our master's teacher's feet and humbly ask God to teach us this book. Our desire is not just to hear the words of Scripture or to read the words of Scripture, but to understand the words of Scripture, because we want to come together as God's people to understand this book. I remember when the Lord got a hold of me when I was 15, and God spun my life around and turned me upside down. But before that, when I went to youth group in middle school and junior high, I had a grumpy, had-to attitude when it came to this book. I remember my youth leader even asking for a meeting with myself and my mom when I was in eighth grade. My youth leader asked me why I wasn't doing my daily quiet time. I don't remember my response. I don't think I was disrespectful, but the truth was that I had zero desire to get into this book. It was a have-to attitude at best. But when the Lord turned me around when I was 15, one of the first big changes in my life is that I wanted to read my Bible. I longed for and wanted to understand this book. I read my Bible before school, after school, on the school bus, and in study hall. I wanted not only to understand this book, but to spiritually devour this book. This desire, this wanting to understand this book, continued all throughout high school until I went to Bible college. And strangely enough, while I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, a slow drift, a slow switch happened in my life. Instead of reading this book out of a desire to understand God's Word to grow in my relationship with God, I switched to a desire to understand God's Word to grow in my academic biblical knowledge of God's Word. There is nothing wrong with desiring to grow in understanding God's Word for biblical knowledge, but if it stops there, then we have left out the purpose, the very reason why we should long to understand this book. The goal is to grow not only in understanding the words of Scripture, but also to grow in understanding the God of the Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8 teaches us that not only do God's people come together to understand God's Word, but also to apply God's Word. The next few verses in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, tells a fascinating account how God's people discovered that they missed something in the Scriptures, that they as God's people had been missing because they had not been applying the words of Scripture to their life as a people, as a family, and as a nation. Beginning in verse 14, it says, "And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written." Then verse 17 says, "All the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the day of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so." I don't know about you, but when I first read this, I was like, what is going on here? And what is this Feast of Booths about anyway? For the past couple of weeks, I've been doing a deep dive into the seven biblical feasts of God, which are recorded in God's Word in Leviticus chapter 23. The Feast of Booths was not only one of the seven biblical feasts, but also one of the three main feasts that all the Jewish people, specifically the males, were required to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate annually. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 23 that the reason why the Jewish people were to dwell in booths for a whole week, for 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly, was because God delivered his people from their captivity in Egypt. And before they crossed over into the promised land for 40 years, God made his people dwell in tents, in booths. But how does camping out in a makeshift booth for a week during the Feast of Booths help us, as God's people, apply God's word to our life? In four specific ways, both for God's people back then and for us today. First, in applying God's word, we need to remember what God has done. Like the Israelites dwelling in booths, we need to remember that God has delivered us from captivity and set us free. We're no longer held captive to our old masters of sin and Satan, but God, through the blood of the Lamb, has paid our penalty and set us free. Every day when we read God's word, one of the first applications that we should remember is that we are the blood-bought people of God, not because of us, of what we have done, or because we're so great, but all because of what the Lord has done for us on our behalf. Second, in applying God's word, we need to remember not only what God has done, but also where we are going. The Israelites were to annually build makeshift booths for each family to dwell in. These are rickety, wobbly things, more like a lean-to with three sides tilted up and held up by their house with a thatched roof on top. These structures were not built to be permanent. They were temporary. Why? To remind God's people that this home in the wilderness is not their permanent home, but just their temporary home, because they were not going to be staying there. They were on their way to the promised land. Years ago, when I was in middle school, I was in choir, and one of the songs that our choir director had us learn was a folk melody called The Wayfaring Stranger. The first stanza and chorus said this, "I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger while journeying through this land of woe, but there's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. I'm going there to see my father. He said he'd meet me when I come. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home." The words of this song, along with these shabby built booths used in the Feast of Tabernacles, remind me of this eternal truth. We should not get too attached to this world or to these temporary building structures that we dwell in, including our own earthly bodies, because this world is only temporary. It is not our permanent home. We're just a passing through. We're just a going over Jordan on our way to the promised land, our eternal home. Third, in applying God's word, we need to remember not only what God has done, where we are going, but also to remember all the promises of God. In my study on the Feast of Booths, I found that God's people were to make their booths not only with a three-sided structure, but also they were to leave an opening in their thatched roof so they could see the stars in the sky at night. I found that more than interesting, because do you remember what God said to Abraham, the father of faith of the Jewish nation? God told Abraham way back in Genesis 15, verse 5, it says, "Look now toward heaven and tell, count the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall your seed be." And then the very next verse in Genesis 15, 6, Abraham, it says, believed in the Lord, and God counted to him for righteousness. Every time when we look up the star-studded fields in the sky, we, like the Israelites, should be reminded of all the promises of God. But how are we to remember all the promises? That's why we need to be students of this book, so we can understand this book, apply this book, and including all the promises of God to our lives. But of all the promises of God, which is the greatest of all? That we, just like Abraham, the father of faith, when we believe in the Lord and trust in Him, it is counted to us as the righteousness of God applied to our life by faith. But there is one more final application that we learn from the Feast of Booths that we must consider. Fourth, in applying God's word, we need to remember not only what God has done, where we are going, by remembering all the promises of God, but also to remember that God is here with us, dwelling in the midst of His people. When you think about the Israelites' wilderness experience, it really wasn't much to be joyful about. I mean, the Israelites slept in tents for 40 years in the wilderness on the backside of the desert. Often they thirsted for water, and for 40 years they ate the same what-is-it manna food that fell from the sky. God was good to His people, but if you were to evaluate their overall circumstances in the wilderness, it wasn't that great. But do you know what the Israelites did have that brought them great comfort, peace, and joy? They had the dwelling presence of God, who tabernacled in a booth among them, with them every day in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day when they woke up, the pillar of cloud by day was there. When they went to bed at night and all through the night, the pillar of fire by night was there. God was right there, present with His people. But God's people back then have nothing on us today. Not only did they have God dwelling in the midst of His people, so do we. The Bible teaches us that Christ came to tabernacle among us, His people. Christ took on human flesh and blood and became the God-man, God and man in one, so that He could live for us, die for us, and rise again, but also so that we can live with Him and tabernacle with God and God with us for all eternity. And every day between now and then, we need to remember that we have God right here with us, indwelling us by His Holy Spirit, God in the midst of His people. So what's the result when God's people come together to camp out with God and camp on God's word as they seek to understand God's word and apply God's word by remembering what God has done, where we are going, all the promises of God, and that God is right here with us, dwelling in the midst of His people? The result is that the people had very great joy. Nehemiah 8:17 says, "And there was very great gladness." But their great joy was not a one and done. It increased, the Bible says, day by day as they continued to keep the feast and dive into God's word as they sought to understand and apply God's word to their lives. Do you want very great joy in your life? Not a temporal joy, like the fake joy of this world that passes away, but a present and eternal joy that lasts forever. There is no other way to know very great joy than to come and eat this book and to live this book and continue to grow in your relationship with God as you seek day by day to understand God's word and to apply God's word to your life. There's no other secret or shortcut to very great joy than for God's people to camp on God's word, not just for a week, but in a growing, joy-filled relationship with God day by day. Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.